Welcome to howtofinancemoney.com podcast. I am your host, CF. Now, first and foremost, please pardon my Malaysian accent and pronunciation, as English is really not my mother tongue. You might cringe a bit when I speak, so I promise I'll only speak short sentences for the rest of the podcast interview. But first, bear with me with a short introduction of my very special guest today. His name is Andrew Hallam, and he is the author of the highly successful bestseller, Millionaire Teacher, The 9 Rules of Wealth You Should Have Learned in School, which outline his spending and investment philosophy. This is probably the only finance book which does its job not only to educate, but also to entertain. For your information, the Millionaire Teacher book was ranked number 1 at Amazon's US personal finance book category in November 2011. Now, listen to this. Andrew is not a corporate banker, he is not a lawyer, and he's definitely not a businessman. He is a high school teacher in Singapore. I wish my high school teacher taught me about things like compounding interest and investing, because these things are certainly more practical than solving complex algebra, quadratic equations, or even trigonometry. Andrew has walked the walk when his investment portfolio grew over $1 million by the time he was just 38. There are some really great money lessons we could all learn from him. Obviously, if assuming, say, I were a fresh college grad, I just started out as an engineer, and then I met you. Okay, what money advice would you give me to emulate your investing success?
Well, the first thing is to ensure that you think for yourself and you have some discipline, because one of the challenges that a college graduate will face is that he or she will end up with, hopefully, with a job and a reasonable salary, and he or she, if this was you in this case, you would have peers who would start spending money.
Right.
And the problem is that the things that they would actually go on to purchase would be depreciating assets for the most part. So they'd say, well, I've got the salary, now it's time to get a car. And they may end up spending far more for their car than they really ought to, instead of buying a secondhand car. Many of them would go off and buy a new car, not recognizing that the difference between the new and the secondhand car, it's not just, you know, maybe 5 or 8 or 10 or 15,000 ringgit. It's more than that. It's the difference in terms of what opportunity is given up by spending that extra 5, 10, or 15,000 ringgit. So if that money were actually invested from such a young age, as a new college graduate could, that money would grow to probably $1 million ringgit at the end of the day. So by the time that person is sort of 50 years old, the difference between those two cars is really about $1 million ringgit difference. So that's the first thing I would suggest, is to watch their spending and not necessarily do what the people around them are doing. We often get trapped into kind of keeping up. In the States, they've got that expression of keeping up with the Joneses.
Right.
And Mr. and Mrs. Jones, they really aren't that smart.
Financially, yeah?
Financially, exactly. And that's the case with a lot of people. We can be, and I've met, and I'm sure you have, met some extremely bright people, came out of super Ivy League colleges, great salaries, but metaphorically speaking, if they have their bucket and they're holding it under a tap of gushing water, and the water is their income, they've got these fist-sized holes at the bottom of their bucket because they're spending too much money. So the second thing, of course, is to start investing as early as you can, because for every 5 or 6 years that you delay, you end up having to invest twice as much as somebody who started 5 or 6 years before you to end up with the same kind of retirement nest egg.
Right.
because money compounds, and it's very, very powerful, as Einstein suggests, that it's more powerful than the splitting of the atom. And he calls it the eighth wonder of the world. So
yes,
the way it can compound over time is a fabulous thing.
Mm.
I think that the third thing I would tell them
is
that when they start investing, one of the things many people do is they actually hope that their investments rise in value. We know that the investments will eventually rise in value. One of the nice things is, or one of the smart things, is to not get too carried away if it does, and not get too despondent if it doesn't. If it doesn't rise in value, say you're investing in the world's stock markets, the longer it stays in a dormant phase, the better. Because as an investor, you're accumulating assets in businesses. And those businesses, as an aggregate, are actually making more and more money.
Mm.
The companies themselves. If the stock price doesn't go along with that, that is actually a really great thing. The longer you can end up taking advantage of that lag, the better. So for a young person, cheap or dropping stock markets or stagnating stock markets are actually better than rising stock markets.
So you need to embrace it.
Absolutely embrace it. I love it when markets fall, because I'm an accumulator. So I'm actually purchasing assets as an investor because I'm only 41. And so I'm not at any time soon going to sit around and play golf all day and start spending my retirement portfolio. I still really enjoy my job. And so for me, when the markets fall, I absolutely love it, and I can take advantage of that.
If it sounds so simple, why it seems like people around us find it so difficult to actually save and invest? Is it has to do with all the, you know, the media like seduces us to actually, hey, go on vacation, buy these expensive cars, get the latest gadgets?
So apparently this really started in the 1950s, where the generation that came out of the Great Depression, they came out on their feet when, after the Second World War, the economy really started kickstarting again. But what they found was that people weren't spending money and they were saving. They remembered the Depression. And so what companies did in terms of their research was they researched how to get inside the human mind. Their objective really was, how can we manipulate people to convince them that they actually need these products? And so when you look at advertising, what it boils down to in every case is that every ad says one of three things. It says, buy this product and you will be safe. Or it says, buy this product and you will be surrounded by wonderful people of the opposite sex.
That's funny.
Buy this product and you will be happy and you will be surrounded by friends. So it's either safety, friendship and acceptance, or sex. Safety, friendship and acceptance, or sex. And sex is often what they actually target, and we don't even really recognize it, but we are triggered on a subconscious level. If I buy that, we don't really recognize it on the conscious level, but subconsciously that's what the advertisers are actually doing to us.
So you're saying that this is a big conspiracy, yeah?
It's very clever. And like I say, it started in the 50s, and it's very clever. It's a wonderful thing for capitalism. How can we actually get people to buy these products? And so they have to actually try to get inside our heads. And it becomes like a drug. Once you start purchasing, once you get sort of down that road towards purchasing things, and especially when you're dealing with instant gratification of credit cards, it becomes a drug. You get used to it. It's really hard to take things away from people. It is. So that's why it's so difficult. People who start down that train of bringing out the credit card and acquiring whatever they want to acquire, that's why it's so difficult for those people to stop. It's stop. You actually have to take something away from them. It's so much better if you actually never go down that path. It is a lot like a drug.
So that wraps up for the first part. Stay tuned for the second episode. Subscribe to my feed. Follow me on Twitter or Facebook so you will know when I upload the second part of my chat with Andrew. I promise you would not be disappointed. And don't forget to share the love using social buttons below. Till then, cheers! This is CF from howtofinancemoney.com.